Welcome to White Shores, the podcast for spiritual beings having a human experience. Let me invite you to walk once more beside me on White Shores to talk about the real meaning of life and the true power of what is unseen. Let's discuss dreams, intuition, manifesting, as above, so below, angels, afterlife, the science of consciousness, and other infinite possibilities within and all around you. I hope every episode informs, inspires, and illuminates. So, now the scene is set. Allow the grey rain curtain of this world to roll back and all to turn to silver glass. Let's walk barefoot together on the gentle, glistening sands of White Shores to see what mystery lies beyond the material. Thank you for arriving safely on White Shores, a far green country under a swift sunrise. Walking beside me today is not just one, but two remarkable angels. They really are, Elizabeth and Irene, and they are going to tell their extraordinary story about life to afterlife. I'm actually holding a copy of the book compiled by Elizabeth Busson, where there's a contribution by Irani Vouvalides. Please tell me in the interview if I've got pronounced both your names wrong. I'm sure I have, ladies. But it's absolutely, it's one of these books, when you hold it up, you feel like you're being hugged from within and without. It's called Life to Afterlife, Helping Parents Heal, the book. And losing any loved one is painful. And nothing more deeply painful and seemingly out of the natural order than losing a child. And this book does focus on that. All proceeds go to a charity that Elizabeth runs and organises called Helping Parents Heal, and which I've had the absolute honour of being invited on to talk to. And I do many, many interviews. And this interview was one that I left feeling like I'd had a spark inside me. It was utterly beautiful. Anyway, enough of my voice. I want to bring on Elizabeth and Irene now to tell you about them, their life story, their book, and their mission. Hello, ladies.
Hello, it's good to be here. Thank you so much, Teresa, for having us. And I first of all just want to quick let you know that my last name is Boisson. Irene is Irene Vouvalides, which is difficult. We both have such difficult names. And so just
exotic, beautiful.
But thank you so much for having us. And we loved having you on Helping Parents Heal as well. And we're so grateful to be able to talk about the book. And the book is something that's such a huge part of Helping Parents Heal, because our bereavement group, which is what a lot of people would call us because of the fact that we are a group that helps parents to be able to heal from the passing of a child, it's very, very different from other bereavement groups because, first of all, we don't like the word bereavement. We call ourselves Shining Light Parents because Irene and myself and someone who works with us quite frequently, Suzanne Giesman, she's a huge supporter of Helping Parents Heal. She actually is a psychic medium, and she meditated and decided that we should be called Shining Light Parents instead of bereaved parents, because as you can imagine, bereaved is one of the saddest words in the dictionary. So so anyway, I'm so glad that you left our meeting feeling uplifted. And I think that that's what happens in our meetings, because our kids are with us in every single one of our Zoom meetings, and we feel so grateful for them being there.
But I've just got to jump in. I can't help it, because when I talked to you all, it was like there was a child in all of your eyes. Oh. You know, that's what I felt. Oh. The youth, the energy, the sparkle, the joy. which was actually, because obviously I had not met you all before, was not what I would have expected given the circumstances. And it was utterly inspiring. It really was. So thank you. But please, whoever wants to jump in, tell me about the book, how it came about, and the contributors. Please share more about the book, Helping Parents Heal, Life to Afterlife.
Well, I would love to just say a little bit about how it came about, but I'd love for Irene to be able to talk more about the book itself. So we had done a documentary with Craig McMahon, and it was called Life to Afterlife, Mom, Can You Hear Me? And it actually got lots and lots of views, both on Amazon, but also on YouTube. And what it did was to explain to parents that it is possible to heal after the passing of a child, because we had 17 parents in that group of parents from Helping Parents Heal who had all experienced this horrific event, but who had moved forward and healed from it. And so I was actually told in an interview with Jamie Clark and his wife, Maggie, called Psychic Intuition. Psychic Evolution, excuse me. I was on this I think it was July 21st of this year. So it was just very recently. And Jamie told me that Morgan, my son, was coming through, and he told me that we had to write this book. And so pretty much immediately afterward, I got in touch with all of the parents who are a part of the book, as well as with Craig McMahon, as well as some of the psychics who were in the movie as well, to see if they would like to contribute. And we put it together in 2 months' time, which is pretty amazing, because getting all of those people to be able to respond and do something that was actually very healing. All of these chapters are just incredible. And we had an editor who is a mom who wasn't in the documentary, but she also has a child in spirit. So anyway, but maybe Irene can tell a little bit more about the book itself. That would be wonderful.
Sure. And thank you again, Teresa, for having us. And I first wanted to say that, yes, we are Shining Light parents, and we don't believe that we have lost our children. We know exactly where our kids are. Our kids are home, as Elizabeth would say, happy, healthy, and whole at home, and we are still here in Earth School. So I just love to think of that.
I could not agree more.
Yeah. You know, our children have dropped their bodies. You know, for me, death means nothing more than the loss of the physical body. And I know that my daughter, Carly, is with me always. I mean, I have dialogue with her all of the time. And being a part of this book has just been, it's just been amazing. And knowing all of these Shining Light parents and writing these stories about our children. I know for me, when Elizabeth said that we were going to write a book, I thought, oh, sure, let's write a book. We have nothing better to do. We're planning a conference for 1,000 parents next August in Phoenix. And we manage the Facebook group, which now has almost 20,000 members. We hold almost nightly meetings on Zoom. So, you know, why not? Let's write a book. But it took me a very short time. I sat down one evening at the computer, and it was almost as if it was channeling, because I just sat there and wrote, and within a few hours it was done and I submitted it to Elizabeth. So it's just been an absolutely incredible experience. And, you know, grief can be so isolating, Teresa, for so many. And we're just showing people that we're all connected. Our kids are connected, and there's no reason to feel like you're on this journey alone.
Absolutely. And especially during these COVID times when, you know, people have lost loved ones in an extraordinary numbers as never before. I think anyone who's lost a loved one, it's not just if you've lost a beloved child, but if you've lost anyone you're close to, this book can really help heal, bring comfort and inspiration, and also connect you to a community of people to connect to and who are going through the same thing, the same journey, which actually all of us at some point in our life are going to experience this. So it really is educational as well as healing and inspiring. And you're so right. You know, the relationship with someone who has passed goes on. And more of us need to be talking about this, that when someone passes, the relationship is still there and continues. And you capture that in this book. Thank you so much. Would you mind sharing your story, Elizabeth and Irene, both of you?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. And I guess that just very quickly, I think that what would be really nice is to just tell a little bit about our kids.
Yes, please.
And Chelsea, and then for Irene, Carly, they are just amazing. And I think that Irene agrees that they are the reason that we do what we do, and they are the ones pushing us from the other side, and they are helping us every single step of the way. And so I also feel like they're our biggest cheerleaders. And my son was a cheerleader at the University of Arizona. He could flip a girl on one hand, and I can see him cheering with all these kids from the other side as well. But Morgan, first of all, Chelsea passed when I lived in France. I was in a hospital for 2 months on an IV, and I unfortunately had placenta previa, and she was born early and survived for 2 days. And during that 2 month period, I hadn't seen Morgan very much. He was only 2 years old. So going home to Morgan and spending time with him really saved my life. But at that time, I started feeling like I had 1 foot here and 1 foot on the other side. I have always practiced a lot of yoga. I've always believed in meditation, transcendental meditation in the beginning when I used to live in India. And then after that, I kind of changed to regular meditation, I guess. Actually, the name changed, but not the method really. But then Morgan was studying abroad with a university exchange program in Nanjing, China. And they traveled to Tibet, and they went up in altitude way too quickly. And when they got to the base camp of Mount Everest, he was very sick. He went to bed early that night. He didn't wake up the next morning. He was foaming at the mouth. And the other kids, one of them had a mother who was a doctor. They called her, and she said, "Get him down in altitude as quickly as possible." They loaded him on the bus, this 6'6", 280-pound boy, onto the bus. We're starting down the mountain. I got a call from the director, and he said that Morgan was not well, that they were trying to get him down the mountain. Would I like his roommate's phone number? And I called Colin, and Colin said, "It doesn't look good, Miss Boisson." By that time, he had stopped breathing. They had to take him back off the bus, and he was on the ground in this Tibetan mountainside area. And so I immediately said, "Please put the phone up to his ear." And I told him that we loved him, that we were proud of him, and not to be afraid. And immediately when I did that, I felt him hug me. And I was here in Arizona, and he was over in, obviously, in Tibet at the base camp of Mount Everest. But I could feel it as clearly as I've ever gotten a hug from Morgan. And it uplifted me, and it pulled me through, and it led me to create a parent support group a week later, because I was hoping to find other parents who are experiencing this incredible, what I had that I didn't know at that time is called a shared death experience with my son. But I'd love for Irene to tell you about Carly, who's just amazing. She's an amazing young woman. So if she could do that, that would be great.
Sure. Thank you, Elizabeth. Yes, my daughter, Carly Elizabeth Hughes, my only child, was 24 years old. And I have to tell you, Teresa, that from the moment she was born, I always felt as if she wasn't going to be on this earth or mine for a long period of time. And at her college graduation, I turned to my husband, her stepdad, and said, I worried all those years for nothing. Look, she's fine. She graduated college. She's about to start life. And within a year, she was diagnosed with esophageal gastric cancer, unheard of in a 24-year-old, and passed about 4 months after her diagnosis. And I just wanted to die. I did not want to be on this earth. And my mantra became, Tony can't be twice widowed. My husband's first wife passed of pancreatic cancer. And I was really lost for a very long time. And I was just obsessed that Carly was alone and was frightened when she transitioned. And about 9 months after she passed, my sister and I had a reading with a medium, with George Anderson, and he changed my life. He told me that he could see that I had a daughter that had passed and that her transition was as easy as walking through a doorway, and she wanted me to stop obsessing about it. And that really changed everything for me.
Wow. 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 I'm welling up listening to you both. But it's something I've heard before. When people have lost loved ones and then they get this tremendous sense of connection with that loved one, but you have to overcome the grief barrier first, of course, don't you? And the fear and the uncertainty and all these voices saying to you, this is impossible. But I love the fact that you both feel this connection. You say you feel it, Elizabeth, you mentioned feeling hugged, and Irene, you talked about how a medium was able to give you proof of survival. On a day-to-day basis, what are the signs of connection that you both feel, the afterlife signs, the love that you clearly live, you know, through from your children in spirit?
Well, I'll let Irene start with that, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what goes on in our lives. But Irene, go ahead and tell her a little bit about Carly.
Yeah, you know, I have a dialogue with Carly, and I've learned, and through taking some classes, I have no desire to become a medium, but I do want to continue my connection. And I was with Suzanne Giesman. You know, she said to listen and not to question and to ask questions of your loved one. And my daughter proves to me time and time again. I can give you an example. I was helping Suzanne last weekend at a mediumship workshop. I was selling books and doing the registration, and she had asked everyone to turn their phones off and was talking about, you know, connecting and really listening. And at that second, I heard a voice in my head say, you better turn your cell phone off. And I said to myself or my daughter, I said, I've already turned my phone off in the car. And I heard, no, you haven't. And your phone is going to go off and disturb the entire class. Teresa, that second, my phone rang. And I was so startled, I couldn't even shut the ringer off. I had to leave the room. And later on, Suzanne said to me, why didn't you just shut your ringer off? And I explained to her what happened, and I was just so shocked by that dialogue that I didn't even think of shutting the ringer off. So that's an example of, you know, I mean, it doesn't happen every single day, but it happens frequently.
Wow. Do you have a kind of an internal dialogue with your beloved children in spirit that, you know, you feel them all the time, or does it come and go?
For me, I think it comes and goes, although I just got goosebumps on my whole body right now. And, you know, well, of course, I'm with you all the time. So I think they are with us all the time. And I think they can be at different places at the same time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Elizabeth?
Oh, yes, definitely. I feel like the kids are always here ready to help. And I think that the only caveat is that we have to ask them. And I think it's the same way for spirit guides. I think that, you know, they're watching over us. They are making sure that we don't do stupid things like leaving our phone on, for instance, and other things like that. But I also think that, I mean, one of the things that Irene gets all the time, whenever she has something significant happen that deals with Carly, is beautiful rainbows, which is just such a wonderful sign to be able to get. I get different things. I get, for instance, I'm hiking out in this wilderness area behind us, and on Morgan's birthday, for instance, and on special days when I need it, I get bobcats. And Morgan was a wildcat. That is what the University of Arizona mascot is. And I know that it sounds strange maybe for people in the UK, because I don't think that they necessarily have these mascots. But his best friend was the mascot and dressed up as a bobcat, and as a wildcat, they call him. So these bobcats that come up to us are almost purring, and they come so close to us, and they come for Morgan's birthday. We have a bench back in that wilderness area as well. But that same friend, and I just very quickly, I'd love to tell you this. He's a firefighter now. He graduated from college. He's also a shining light sibling. So his sibling passed before Morgan did, but he knew what it was like to have this happen. And his first job as a firefighter, he was in a garage with another firefighter. The other firefighter was in the car. They were going to put it into neutral and back it out of the garage to be able to save it because the house was on fire. And all of a sudden, as Dan was about to push the car, he was pulled backwards with such force that his feet left the ground, and an air conditioning unit dropped from the ceiling above. It would have killed him if he had been standing there. He knew that it was Morgan hugging him from behind, pulling him backward. And the guy in the car said, "Dude, what just happened?" He was just so blown away by that. So I think that not only do our kids have a dialogue and help us here on Earth, I think that they do this with a lot of not only their family members, but their friends as well. And for those people who are open to understanding and hearing this, I think that for us, it's always such an exciting thing because we get to hear about what our kids are doing. And they're almost like superheroes.
They certainly are. And but you two are, you are shining lights. I can't describe, you know, this isn't a video podcast. In some ways, it makes me wish it was, because you two need to be seen. The light in your eyes is quite remarkable. And it definitely seems to be coming from some spiritual source that is awe-inspiring. But would you say, both of you, that you were spiritual before the loss of the physical life of your children? Or was it that was the shift, that was the spiritual awakening?
No, I know for me, I was very spiritual. I was raised Catholic, and I am no longer a practicing Catholic, nor had I been for many, many years. I heard a term recently, a reformed Catholic. And I was very spiritual. My brother and sister were, and I loved learning about the afterlife. I believed in the power of prayer, but it still shakes you to the core when mm-hmm. you question God and you question who you are. So what about you, Elizabeth?
Well, I was a little different because I did grow up for several years in India when I was younger. And I was always very, very, very interested in Eastern religions and their ideas about reincarnation, about compassion, forgiveness, all of these different things that were just so, so important in my life. And starting yoga very early on, starting transcendental meditation as well. I think that all of those things helped me to what we say kind of in the terms of when we're trying to connect with our kids, raise my vibration, even before Morgan transitioned. And that was so fortunate for me. And I think that the reason that happened for me was because it was already my destiny to create this group that was going to help other parents understand that their kids are still right here. And if I hadn't had that experience earlier on, it might not have allowed me, both with Chelsea and with, you know, the fact that I had been studying Eastern religions and kind of spirituality and things like that. But I wanted to also say, I neglected to say when I was talking about Chelsea and Morgan, that I have been told by several mediums that Chelsea was the first person to meet Morgan when he transitioned at that base camp in Tibet. And she grabbed his hand and led him to me. And that was the reason that I got that incredible hug. So I feel so grateful to her. And I would never, ever want anyone to have to go through having more than one child transition. But I think that that was one of the main reasons that I was able to immediately start feeling Morgan with me as well.
Absolutely. So this is to both of you. Someone listening right now who has lost a child or a loved one and is feeling absolutely crushed, as you know, what advice could you give them?
Well, I think what I would give them is, number one, find a support group. Don't be isolated in your grief or in your journey. That helped me tremendously, being able to talk with other people that knew exactly what I was feeling and had experienced and were experienced what I was feeling. And then I would tell them, as I did, to read everything you can find and watch every video you can find about the afterlife, because it's an incredible journey to go on. And one door leads to another door opening, and you will connect and you will find your loved one.
Would you recommend the Netflix documentary Surviving Death? I think it is the journalist. Is it Leslie Keen? I can't remember. It was number one or number four on Amazon recently or earlier this year. Have you seen it? It's hugely popular.
I did see it and I enjoyed it. And some of it resonated with me more than other parts. But I think anywhere where we can get information out to the world via Netflix about surviving death and about the afterlife, I mean, I would watch anything and everything. And what feels right to you will resonate and you'll feel it that, yes, this is for me.
But I mean, the COVID and everything has created a shift, hasn't it? Because a documentary like that coming out and being so hugely popular shows that people are opening up to this. Similarly, Disney doing the movie Soul, you know, actually, you know, bringing the afterlife to children, that movie. I don't know if you've seen it. It's absolutely sublime.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we have on Helping Parents Heal, we have a page of documentaries as well as TED Talks as well as kids movies like Soul, like Coraline, I think it is. There's not Coraline. What is the name of the one with the Day of the Dead? There are some really incredible movies that are out there that have just recently come out that allow parents to see a different kind of way of healing, for instance. And I feel very, very excited about the whole series of documentaries that Craig McMahon created. Mm. And they were all on Amazon Prime. And now some of them are available on YouTube as well. And those are the Life to Afterlife series, as well as there are so many TED Talks from people who are so knowledgeable, like Dr. Mary Neal, as well as who had a near-death experience in a kayaking accident. Or there are Dr. Christopher Kerr, who is working with end-of-life palliative care and has seen in so many of his patients the same kind of thing as Dr. Raymond Moody, where the patients transition and come back and have near-death experiences. There are just so many things that allow us now to realize that this isn't it, that this is just a very small part of our journey, and that As soon as we transition, it will be as though not one second has passed with our loved ones. And
heartbeat away, isn't it? But these stories of afterlife signs, afterlife experiences, connection, since humans first walked the earth, it's abundance of witness statements we have got now that needs to be treated as data. And I'm so pleased that scientists are now even looking at this and taking it seriously, really seriously, studying consciousness, survival of life after death. I am super excited about where science is heading now. And it's great on White Shores, of course. And even in this season, I've got two of the scientists who advised the Disney movie even on how to create the afterlife scenes in Seoul. I mean, this would not have happened 5-10 years ago.
Yes.
Been a big, big shift. And, you know, because the world's been through such crisis, I guess, where everybody's become so close to death because of COVID that it's made everybody really rethink. And this is where, you know, your book coming out really any time would be perfect, but right now it really is. And I'm going to remind everyone listening to check this book out. All proceeds go to this wonderful charity. It's called Life to Afterlife, Helping Parents Heal, compiled by Elizabeth Boussin. I said your name quickly. I hope I got it right. So can you tell us how we can get hold of a copy of this book? And also, just as important, if people wanted to connect with you online. Now, this podcast is based in the UK, but I do know my listeners are all over the world, which is wonderful. But we live in online now, where times where we all connect online. How can they reach out to you and find out more, ask you questions, message you?
Well, first of all, we are all over the world. So we have a Helping Parents Heal UK. We're in Canada. We're in the United States. We have affiliate groups in South Africa, in India, as well as in New Zealand and Australia. And even if you aren't in those different places, we do so much by Zoom that everyone is welcome to join us on any of our Zoom meetings. The most important thing is to join Helping Parents Heal on Facebook. We do have our website, www.helpingparentsheal.org, and it has all of the locations of the different affiliate groups. But we also have a group of 30 caring listeners who are volunteer parents who have gone down the healing path a little bit further and who reach a hand back to help others forward, and they love doing so. Irene and I are both caring listeners, and we spend hours a week on the phone with parents who call us from all over. I was with a woman from Malaysia the other day. I'm going to be speaking to someone from Canada today. And of course, it's free of charge. And all of those caring listeners are on our website. We actually have caring listeners who speak 9 different languages. So it's not just English. We have many different languages that are available. And all of the bios for the caring listeners are on there as well. So there are a lot of resources. Everything that we offer is free of charge. So I hope that parents will take advantage of joining us. We have some incredible speakers, just like you, who speak to our parents, and we have all of the Zoom meetings, and right now there are about 295 of them housed on our website as well in different categories, because we have sound healings, we also have gallery readings, we have afterlife experts, we have parents who we call Shining Light Parents who speak as well about their journey, all different topics that might resonate with parents. And again, I think that what Irene said is exactly right. On this healing journey, it is so important to take whatever resonates with you and leave all of the rest behind. And one of the things that I have discovered on this journey is that anything that sounds scary or difficult to hear is probably not true anyway. And so I leave all of that behind. Our kids, again, as Irene says, are happy, healthy, and whole. They are at home now. we're still in school. We're here for a reason. We need to be learning something. And I think that one of the main things that we are supposed to be learning about is love, being able to love each other, being able to help each other and to move forward and heal together.
Absolutely. And love ourselves as well. I mean, that's a difficult journey for a lot of people, isn't it? It starts with caring for yourself. And that's what, you know, if you have loved ones in spirit, that's what they want as well. They want to you to feel love for yourself. And then that love grows for others in this life and the next. If you're listening, everyone, I know you'll be feeling a little bit like I am, in absolute awe. But if you are someone who has lost a child, a loved one, I do urge you to reach out and connect to these amazing ladies and this organization. You won't regret it. There's no dogma. There's no forcing your beliefs down you or anything. Just go there, be yourself, take what you can. And see if it resonates, because you can hear by their voices what gentle, loving souls they are. They've both been touched by heaven, in my humble opinion. So thank you so much. And also, a good place to start is with the book, Life to Afterlife. It's on Amazon. It hit number one in its category, which is awesome and well-deserved and heaven-sent. So please do that. All details will be in the show notes. I can't thank you both enough for being here today. And also, I just was so loved. It was so wonderful when you emailed me and asked me to talk. It was a privilege and an honor, because I've devoted my life to afterlife research and writing. And I felt deeply humbled to be there. And then I found out that it is a veritable who's who of people writing in this area that you are collecting. You're doing amazing work gathering it all together as a database and a record. So thank you. I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions before you go. The first one is, as you know, as well as my afterlife research, I write a lot about dreaming. Would Elizabeth or Irene, whoever wants to answer, do you think that dreaming of your children, is that an afterlife sign connection as well?
Oh, definitely. Yes. I think most of us would say yes, 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 yes.
And would you say it's almost a visitation? What is the mark of a, because I know there's research to show, isn't there, that people who dream of departed loved ones, they do get this sense of connection sooner and deal better with the grieving process and find meaning in their loss. There is actual research in this, but how can you, have you two had dreams?
Yes, I've definitely. There's no question in my mind. I do dream of Coralie, but I have had probably two dream visitations in the almost 9 years since she's passed, and they were absolutely incredible. There's a difference between a dream and a visitation, and I think until you experience it, maybe it's hard to describe. But I could see her clear as could be. She was sitting at a table, and she was sitting with the dean of education at Boston College, who happened to pass just a few months before Coralie did, and she loved this man. And I started screaming. I said, "Coralie, you're alive. You're here. Look at you." And I could smell her. I remembered her smell. And I reached out to touch her hair, and it had a special feel to it. And she turned around and she said, "Well, of course I'm here, Mom. Where else would I be? I can't talk to you right now. I'm very busy. John and I are working." And then it just kind of morphed backwards. Like you felt like you were being drawn back. And then I woke up, and there was no question that was a visit.
I mean, I myself too, I've had a couple of visitation dreams, and that you're right. They are so different from your symbolic, more psychological dreams. In that you really feel like this is a real conversation, and it's you get information you that surprises you, but it's them in every sense of the word, isn't it? And it's incredibly comforting.
The one thing I do, I was told to keep a glass of water, because water is a good conduit for spirit when I go to bed. And every night when I close my eyes, my mom, my daughter, and my dad all passed within 5 years of each other. And I asked the three of them to visit me if it's at all possible every night.
They do. They visit in the dream. So anyone who's saying, oh, I'm not having any afterlife signs, check out your dreams, because that is a connection in spirit. And it's the beginning of other wonderful signs. If you just allow yourself to be bathed in that love, it's utterly beautiful connection. And then the final question for both of you. I'm going to ask your children in spirit to talk through you here. A running theme of this season is it's going to be released in a festive time, a seasonal time. And I've been struggling to understand the symbolism of the 12 days of Christmas, or as I say, spirit, because this is non-religious. It's a spiritual podcast, not religious. So I'm going to run through these. And what would your children in spirit choose of the 12 days of Christmas song? The partridge in the pear tree, the two turtle doves, the three French hens, the four calling birds, the five golden rings, the six geese, the seven swans, the eight maids, the nine ladies, the 10 lords, the 11 pipers, or the 12 drummers? Wow. Both of you, tell me.
Goodness gracious. Well, I would say a partridge in a pear tree. I think that is the one that resonates the most with me and with my kids, but I don't know.
Why? I'd love to know why. The symbol, why is it? I mean, I don't understand this song. So this whole podcast, I'm asking people to explain it to me.
Well, and you know, I don't necessarily understand it either. The problem for me is that I grew up listening to this song. And of course, you see these beautiful displays with partridge in a pear tree, as well as all of the other wonderful symbolism. But I would say that the partridge to me symbolizes Morgan, who was the first one over there that was able to get my attention and allow me. He's like the big cheerleader of the whole group of all of these kids. So he's over there cheering them on in that pear tree. And I think that probably the symbolism for me too, it's interesting that you say that. It's not something that I necessarily have really thought about before.
Well, that's what Wishers does. It takes you places. Irene, what about you?
It's never really resonated with me, but when you put it like that, I would say the five golden rings. Carly loved jewelry, and she loved gold jewelry. So, and you know, a ring's the symbology of the ring, the circle of life.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh,
that's what
I would say. So much. I'll get to the bottom of it. I'll unravel it. I'm going to try and decode it. Oh, thank you, you two. I just love you both, really do. And I'm so glad we are connected. And I hope everybody listening falls in love with you both in the same way.
Thank you. And we hope you'll come back and talk to Helping Parents Heal again.
I would love to. Thank you so much.
If you're available, if you would like to, that would be wonderful. And thank you again for inviting us.
Yes, thank you so much. Elizabeth, Irene, thank you. And to your children in spirit, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you from my heart and soul for being here and walking beside me in spirit on white shores. Sensitive, kind, compassionate souls like you who see beyond the material are needed more than ever today to help this earth heal and evolve. If you have any questions, stories, or insights to share, I absolutely love hearing from you and aim to reply to everyone in due course. My website is www.teresachung.com. My contact email is angeltalk710@aol.com. And you can message me via my Instagram handle, TheTeresaChung, as well as my Facebook and Twitter author pages. Until we meet again on these white shores, keep being amazing spiritual you, sending my eternal love and gratitude.